All right, the breaking news is here. Adam Schefter has reported it. It has been confirmed. The 49ers are going to place Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve. This is no longer a surprise. Maybe earlier in the week it would have been a surprise because Kyle Shanahan did not think that this was a possibility earlier in the week. But McCaffrey's condition regressed since that point. He tried to practice on Thursday, and after Thursday's practice, the Achilles tendonitis was more painful than it had been at any point over the course of the past couple weeks. So the 49ers are going to shut Christian McCaffrey down. This is them playing chess, as they should. They should be playing chess in this situation. A fresh McCaffrey for the stretch run of this season is key. It's funny because the 49ers can play this season a lot like a top-tier NBA team. You don't see it as much in the NFL, the whole load management thing. But in the NBA, you see it. You see guys rest and certain games in the regular season. And obviously, the regular season isn't as important because it's easier to make the playoffs. But it really starts mattering in April, May, and June in the NBA. For the 49ers, it really starts mattering in December, January, and February. You could add November into that mix if you want. But now with Christian McCaffrey going on IR, not going to be able to return until October 10th at the soonest. And if they decide to shelve him through the bye week, which is three games past that October 10th Seattle game, including that day on October 10th, then McCaffrey won't return until the Tampa Bay game, which is in November after the bye week. And you know what? I think that'd be totally okay with the 49ers. If that's what it takes to get Christian McCaffrey back to 100%, and we can talk about the Achilles tendonitis in a little bit, they have the luxury of doing that. They've built this robust, deep roster. We saw what Jordan Mason did last week. 28 carries was the most carries of any back in one game under Kyle Shanahan, which is hard to believe because there have been a lot of prolific rushing performances. But 28 carries, that's a 1970s, 1980s style number from Jordan Mason. And he was running just as hard on carry number 28 as he was on carry number one. So they have a lot of faith in Jordan Mason. They drafted Isaac Garendo. Patrick Taylor Jr. is a backup with some experience who's on this football team. When they do officially move Christian McCaffrey to injured reserve later this afternoon, I would expect the 49ers to make a corresponding move. Maybe, well, we'll see. Let's take a look at the roster to see exactly what they do. But I think definitely you bring in a running back at least to the practice squad if you're the 49ers. You can call up Keyshawn Vaughn, who currently is on the practice squad. Here is a look at San Francisco's roster just to help you visualize how things might work. I'll zoom in on the running back position for you. So anything to the left side of this line right here is the 53, and then you have the practice squad here. So you've got Keyshawn Vaughn, who was with the team in training camp. They cut him, and then they re-signed him to the practice squad. But McCaffrey is going to go to IR. That's going to open up a spot. So you've got Mason, Garendo, Patrick Taylor, and you're probably going to want one more back on this football team. So it's either calling up Keyshawn Vaughn or signing an outside free agent. And in the past, the 49ers have decided to go with the player who is already in the system. So we'll see what they do in this case. But the load management strategy is something that NFL teams often don't have the luxury of utilizing, but the 49ers definitely do. And I think week one was primary evidence. Now, as far as what's wrong with Christian McCaffrey, it's been listed as a calf and Achilles injury. The calf and the Achilles are obviously connected. And then more specifically, we've learned that it's Achilles tendonitis. So the Achilles tendonitis can be painful. And the Achilles is the strongest tendon in the body. It carries the heaviest load, being there at the bottom. All the body weight is on top of it. Achilles tendonitis can be correlated with an Achilles tear, an Achilles rupture, which would be catastrophic. That's something that you do not want to happen to anybody. And obviously, if it happens to Christian McCaffrey after you just invested so much in him with the restructured contract and guaranteed money. It was an extension that they gave Christian McCaffrey this offseason. You've got to protect your investment. So the way to treat Achilles tendonitis starts with rest. You know, they tried to ramp Christian McCaffrey up slowly. They obviously had him off on the side there for a couple weeks during training camp. But as they started ramping him back up, the pain obviously flared back up and might have flared up to an even greater degree than before. That's what Thursday's practice, what Shanahan called McCaffrey's worst day of the past 2 weeks. That's what happened there. So when the ramp up strategy didn't work, the 49ers circled the wagons, put the brain trust together and said, okay, what should we do now? And the decision was, we need to shut Christian McCaffrey down. We need to give it real rest. We need to take away the pressure of, okay, is he going to play? Is he going to practice? Is he not? No, just shut him down for 4 weeks, and then you can reconvene in that week of October 10th before they play the Seahawks on that Thursday night game. They play Seattle, they play Kansas City, and then they play the Cowboys after McCaffrey's eligible to come off of injured reserve and before the bye week. And I think it's entirely possible that they shut down McCaffrey through the bye week. The thing is that you don't know. You don't know how the Achilles tendonitis is going to respond on an exact timeline. You hope that the primary thing that you have to give it, which is rest and rehab, through that physical therapy, you hope that the 4 weeks is enough. But if it's not, if you need 5 weeks, if you need 6 weeks, you need 7 weeks, then you can head up straight into the bye. And at the end of the day, the freshness of Christian McCaffrey for the stretch run is key. And that's one of the potential added benefits in this situation for San Francisco, is that if McCaffrey were fully healthy right now, coming off of the 20-game season last year, and I know he only played a portion of it in 2022, but he played for the Panthers before that, so he already has some mileage on his body. If he were fully healthy right now, he'd be playing, he'd be collecting bruises. Then the 49ers would hit December, January, February, and he'd be dealing with the accumulation of bruises that he'd picked up in September, October, and November. Well, if this rehab process goes right for the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey will be healthy, back in the lineup in November at the latest, and he'll be free of any bruises that would have been accumulated in September and October. So that's how I'm saying the 49ers can play this like an NBA team. They could play it load management-wise. It's a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you've got to, protect Christian McCaffrey from himself. But also the 49ers need to realize that, and they do realize, to their credit, that the short-term potential gain of putting Christian McCaffrey out there is not worth the longer-term risk. Again, here's a look at what San Francisco has at the running back position. Jordan Mason, so good last week. We're going to get to see more of him tomorrow in Minnesota. Maybe we see some Patrick Taylor Jr., Isaac Grendo, especially on a short week coming off of 28 carries. I think the 49ers are going to want to mix things up behind Jordan Mason a little bit tomorrow. And there's obviously Keyshawn Vaughn, who is on the practice squad. Maybe he gets the call up for the game tomorrow to make sure that the 49ers have adequate depth in that running back room. Now, McCaffrey is a fantastic player who probably changes offensive dynamics more than any other non-quarterback in the league. Because of his ability to come out of the backfield and deliver as a receiver, we call it the CMC gravity, right? He draws so much defensive attention, even if it's just a defender noticing and slightly shading his body toward McCaffrey. In the NFL, a game of inches, that can open up the window for somebody else to be open. That being said, take a look at the rest of the 49ers offense. They also have Brock Purdy, one of the best quarterbacks in football. They also have Jordan Mason, who just stampeded to 147 yards on 28 carries against the good Jets defense. They also have Brandon Ayuk, who's only going to play into better form as this season progresses. They also have Debo Samuel, who's a complete wrecking ball, who's in fantastic shape. Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley. I'm excited to see how they work Jacob Cowing into the mix over the course of this season. George Kittle, walking Hall of Famer for the 49ers. And it looks like the offensive line is the best that they have had in a while. Williams on the left side, Dominic Pooney, the rookie at right guard. Dominic Pooney's family is going to drive 8 hours from St. Louis to Minneapolis for this game. I'm sure they're already on the road right now. If they're not already there, they might have left yesterday so they could see Dominic when the 49ers landed. So shout out to them. And now we talk about how the 49ers are going to continue trying to replace Christian McCaffrey. The central point of the angst in this situation seems to come from people who play fantasy football and or bettors. And the only thing I have to say is the only person that cares about your bet or your fantasy football team is you. Nobody else cares. Literally, nobody else in the world cares except for you. And that's one thing that's polluted this discourse surrounding Christian McCaffrey and then Jordan Mason's, you know, talking about when he was told he was going to start. The NFL obviously found no wrongdoing with the 49ers. Things are fluid in the NFL, and teams, you know, they're not obligated to help your fantasy football team by announcing something days ahead of time when they're letting a fluid situation unfold. And Christian McCaffrey's Achilles tendonitis was improving last week, and it looked like he was going to play. And then on Monday morning, he woke up and it had flared up a little bit, and they said, okay, no, we're not going to play him. And then he returned to practice on Wednesday, felt okay, but Thursday's practice created a lot of pain. It's just how the NFL works. We focus on the team aspect of this sport. We don't focus on the fantasy football aspect of this sport. My condolences to you if you did draft Christian McCaffrey with the top overall pick, but nobody cares. What people care about, or what I care about, and that's what I'm going to talk about, is how the 49ers should strategize about this in the bigger picture. And with McCaffrey being such an important part of the offense as far as alignment and spacing is concerned, the 49ers obviously have to pick up slack without him, but we got an idea of how they're going to pick up that slack against the Jets last week. They weren't getting quite the same spacing in the pass game as they do when Christian McCaffrey was there. I think you saw when Quincy Williams broke up that throw to Deebo Samuel. It was a linebacker that was blanketing a receiver. You saw Sauce Gardner on the slant pattern break up the pass to Brandon Ayuk. We got to see a really good Jets coverage unit shut off some lanes to 49ers passing targets in that football game. And that was all great for the Jets, but the 49ers just decided, okay, fine, since we can't get the same kind of spacing that we probably would get if Christian McCaffrey was out here as a gravitational force, we'll just beat you in another way. We're just going to run diesel straight at you. They turn to outside zone, but with power. And the 49ers run outside zone differently than a lot of other teams run outside zone. The Shanahan outside zone is predicated not on lateral movement, but on kind of this diagonal movement. They're going downhill while they're trying to stretch things to the outside. And those offensive linemen are getting physical. The receivers are getting physical. And oftentimes, a lot of these NFL defenses, which are really geared toward stopping the pass, lighter guys, Sauce Gardner is a great example. He's very slight of frame. Well, these defenses that are geared toward stopping the pass, they just get hit with a tidal wave when the 49ers are coming downhill. The fact that Dominic Pooney has bought into the system the way that he has this early in his NFL career has really helped San Francisco because it's made their line ambidextrous. They actually ran to the right more than they ran to the left. In the past, they had run behind Trent Williams and Aaron Banks more often. So they can go either way now. And Jordan Mason at 220 pounds is laying out some punishment for the 49ers to be able to win in that downhill diesel style. Now, Jordan Mason, he can also catch the football. He was on the jugs machine all offseason with his dad out in Nashville. And that's one reason why he's earned Kyle Shanahan's trust, that they could run a lot of the same stuff that they do with Christian McCaffrey. They can't run everything. The playbook does get smaller without Christian, for sure, because there's fancy routes that only McCaffrey can run as a running back. But still, Jordan Mason is able to catch the ball out of the backfield at a much higher level than in the past. And I think that means that the 49ers offense can continue functioning. I won't say without a hitch, because McCaffrey is that good, but they can continue functioning at an efficient level. Another piece of good news for San Francisco here, when we talk about strategy moving forward in this Christian McCaffrey situation, is the schedule moving forward. And the game against the Vikings tomorrow is a very winnable one. My prediction video is out. You can check it out. In fact, I was doing a live with the 49ers Vikings prediction right when the McCaffrey news official, hasn't officially dropped. When it dropped via Adam Schefter, we're going to see it officially drop this afternoon, but I was doing a live on the prediction, so you could go and check out the prediction. But the Vikings were a middle of the pack defense last season. They did slow the 49ers run game big time last year, but that was the McCaffrey run game, and there was a lot of extenuating circumstances in that football game. 49ers were, playing behind the eight ball, I think, for a lot of it. You know, one big reason was the Christian McCaffrey fumble, actually, on the first drive of that football game. But Minnesota, I think if the 49ers play this game downhill, and I think having a better defense this year, new defensive coordinator, better interior, better secondary, playing this game downhill will give them a chance to unlock the same strategy that we saw from Jordan Mason in the offense last week. And I'm not sure if Minnesota is equipped to handle that. I don't know if any team is equipped to handle that, because teams are equipped to defend the pass and not the downhill run. So it's key for the 49ers to approach this game in that regard. But it's Minnesota with a mediocre defense this week. It's the Patriots who, I mean, we'll see. I know they won week one against the Bengals, but that was week one. So we'll have to see more from New England. At first, it's the Rams, actually. Rams on the road, who are beaten up right now. So that's a game the 49ers will be favored in SoFi Stadium. Then there's going to be New England at home, Arizona at home. Four very winnable games for the 49ers. They're going to be favored in all four, even without Christian McCaffrey. Then for San Francisco, it obviously gets tougher. Seattle on the road, Kansas City, and the Dallas Cowboys, and then the bye week. Ideally, I think if you're the 49ers, you'd want Christian McCaffrey back at least for that Kansas City game. That's going to be a huge game from a psychological perspective for San Francisco, because then you have him from Kansas City and then Dallas. But the healing is going to go at its own pace. And Achilles tendonitis, as I mentioned earlier, is a tricky thing. The only way to see market improvement is through rest. So you obviously shut him down right now from practice and any potential games through that rest, but then you see if things improve. But the last thing that you can have if you're the 49ers is a full-on Achilles rupture. And Achilles tendonitis has been correlated with Achilles tears in the past. And that is a risk that the 49ers and Christian McCaffrey should not be willing to take and are not willing to take at this time. So that is the strategy. That is the chess move. The 49ers are good enough. They're blessed with a roster that is strong enough. It is a luxury to be able to approach the situation with long-term strategy instead of short-term strategy. And guess what? As I said, they're still going to be favored in these next four games. Let's see what the flight says to Minneapolis. I think we're still on time. I'm gate F15 at SFO. Sounds like the United Terminal, Terminal 3. I'm going to have to get off to the airport here in a couple minutes. I want to see this grow up to over 1,000 viewers. Why not? Once we hit 1,000, then maybe we can think about leaving, but I'll push it. Yeah, I've never missed a flight in my life. I've taken a lot of them. That's wood that I'm knocking on. Probably shouldn't tempt the flight gods here, but I have missed a flight when, you know, my layover is delayed because of the inbound flight, but not to my own fault. I have not missed the flight. So we got to keep that streak going as we move forward. I'm going to open this up to a 49er Q&A and answer a few questions as we work toward 1,000 viewers on this show. I didn't jinx it. I've said it many times before on the show, and I didn't miss my flight after. I get it. I'm tempting fate, but I still have got, I got a couple hours. We're good. The Polaris Lounge in SFO is nice. Unfortunately, that's only for international first class passengers. Minneapolis is not an international destination. Mike asks, will we see Guerrero take some carries? That's a good question. It depends on how much they trust Guerrero at this point with everything that's involved with playing on the offensive side of the football, right? It's pass protection. I know Patrick Taylor Jr. is a really good pass protector. That's something that's a big arrow up in his favor. So you look at somebody like Patrick Taylor Jr. and you probably think he's higher on the trust pecking order than Isaac Guerrero, who is going to be a special teams contributor for San Francisco, no doubt, early in his career. But you've got to be solid in all phases of the game, including the phases that the fans don't notice as much to get that early playing time. So they might go with the higher veteran floor over the rookie, unless Guerrero has proven a lot in practice with his pass protection. Have the 49ers solved their issues on special teams by just kicking the ball out of the end zone and giving the teams the ball on the 30-yard line? You know, my thing with this new kickoff rule is I don't think it punishes teams enough for kicking the ball out of the end zone. If you're uncertain about your coverage unit, yeah, just boot it out of the end zone. The 30 isn't that bad, right? And the 49ers trust their defense too. So maybe we'll see how the strategies continue to unfold. But I think if they want to incentivize more returns, you've got to disincentivize touchbacks. And I think a lot of teams are okay with that 30-yard line unless they trust their coverage unit enough to be able to put that ball into the landing zone and, you know, they see enough upside. Okay, we can stop this at the 21, the 20, the 18-yard line. At that point, yeah, you start thinking about it a little bit more as the kick team. Do I think that Jordan Mason will continue to get a solid amount of reps after McCaffrey comes off of injured reserve? Yeah, why not? Jamie says that, and you know, with Jordan Mason, that's the thing. Jordan Mason is a change of pace from Christian McCaffrey that I think the 49ers can definitely utilize, even when McCaffrey is back. I mean, again, Mason is the diesel for the 49ers. Jamie thinks that Mason could be a top five back. We'll see. I mean, he looked damn good last week. He was a throwback last week with the way that he was rumbling downfield. Hit that outside zone with a lot of decisiveness, a lot of speed. It was impressive from Jordan Mason. Is Lynch taking phone calls for Dobbs from Miami and Green Bay? Lynch should take phone calls from anybody about anybody just to see what the offer is. I think the 49ers have always done that. I don't think Green Bay's in the market for a quarterback right now. I don't think Jordan Love is going to be out for all that long. Miami is still a very TBD situation. And Dobbs is the number three for the 49ers, so there is a price, I think, at which they'd be willing to let him go. I don't think they'd be willing to let their QB2 go, especially if they only had two guys on the 53. But at that third spot, I think it would take a quite an offer for the 49ers to be moved off of quarterback depth because that's so important to the team. But every man does have his price, and John Lynch might have his price in this situation. The question is, would somebody like Miami be willing to meet it? Jimmy G is the Rams' number two. So even if McDaniel was interested in that, I don't think the Rams would be all too interested in it, barring a very, very high price. Because the Rams have hopes for this season. I don't think they want to tank everything, you know, in the event that Matt Stafford, who's already beaten up, gets hurt. So I think they want to make sure they keep their number two. 49ers and Rams next week. Dude, Pat McAfee named the 49ers as the second best O-line in week one because of Pooney. Gotta love that. Pat's show is really good. I really appreciate the McAfee show. Obviously, I'm on there every once in a while, but just felt that they've always done a really good job covering the minute details of teams. It almost seems like they're covering it from a local level, but they're coming at it from a national level, and you have to give them credit for that because that means that Pat and his guys are doing their homework. Can I explain what happened after the Jets game? JP seemed very upset after his on-field interview. Well, Mason accidentally said that he learned that he was starting on Friday and Christian McCaffrey was designated as questionable on Friday. And people took everything out of context because they don't understand how injury designations and injury decisions work. First off, there was confusion between Friday and Saturday last week because NFL players refer to Friday as the last day of the practice week. But since the 49ers were playing Monday night, Saturday was the last day of the practice week. So Mason might have been referring to Saturday. I think he probably was referring to Saturday. Also, the 49ers could have very, very easily told Jordan Mason he's starting because they weren't sure if Christian McCaffrey was going to play or not. Keyword being weren't sure. A lot of people thought that Mason's answer about being told early that he was going to start on Friday or Saturday, a lot of people equated that with the 49ers ruling McCaffrey out in their own minds, in their own building, but listing him as questionable. But that's just not the way that decision-making works in the NFL. It's not the way that it worked in this scenario. In this scenario, the 49ers weren't sure until Monday morning. So they told Jordan Mason that he was going to start. And then when Christian McCaffrey couldn't play, that was verified. So it's so fluid. It's not like this game of Madden. A lot of people think it's like a video game. It's definitely not what happened in this case. But anyway, Jordan Mason, he got a blowback for saying what he did in that interview in the heat of the moment. He didn't deserve that blowback. So of course he was upset during the interview. So this is why I don't like talking to the media, because stuff is blown out of proportion by people that don't actually understand the full scope of what's going on. All right, we hit 1,000. That's good. So to wrap things up, 49ers have placed Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve. Chess move. They have the luxury to do this. He's going to be out to at least the Seahawks game on October 10th, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's out till after the bye week. The key is to get him healthy and fresh for the stretch run, which could be a hidden benefit of all this, but the 49ers good enough to do this without Christian McCaffrey for the first part of this season. All right, I'm off to Minneapolis. Got to go catch a plane. Knock on wood. Haven't missed a flight. Keep you updated to see if I make this one.